to talk about a couple of different ideas here. The first one being empowerment. And you've kind of gotten the gist of empowerment from just what I've been talking about. It's that nourishing soil. When you surround yourself with people who nourish and uplift you, it's easier to grow. But here's the thing. They're not always going to be empowering and uplifting. Sometimes they're going to be stuck in their own disempowering cycles. What you need to do is get clarity on whether they're disempowering for a season or a reason, or if they're just chronically disempowering. Now, a person who's disempowering generally is an energy drain, sometimes is a time suck. You start to cringe whenever they call or write or reach out to you. But the question you need to ask yourself is this something that happens all the time with that person? Are they like drama mongers? Are they always looking to create drama and chaos? My mother, Lord love her, was a victim. She always played the victim. She always blamed everybody else for her circumstances. And I got really clear that that was a toxic relationship for me. Not for my sister. My sister and my mother got along great. And it was a great relationship for them. But my mother and I, not so much. We didn't see the world the same way. Now, we're not going to talk about what to do with disempowering and toxic relationships today. That's really a fitness thing, and we'll talk about that in our next lesson. But today, you got to get clear on who those people are. If they're disempowering for a reason, like they've been through a loss, or they're hurting, or someone close to them is hurting, and they're going through that, and they really need you right now, that's different than constantly being a drama monger and constantly putting you down and constantly telling you that everything that you're doing is wrong and a waste of time and no good. Likewise, if this is someone you trust and really look up to and respect, and one time out of 100 they say, you know, you really should rethink what you're trying to do here. They're not saying you suck, they're saying that your idea needs some work. You need to not hear that as a disempowerment. You need to hear that as encouragement to do better because they believe in you. So there's some distinctions that we need to work on in that spectrum of family. We have the empowerers, and you need to be an empowerer to your family when they're feeling disempowered. That's the cycle. When you're up, you can bring them up. And when you're down, they can bring you up. And it's that cycle. That's a relationship. If you're always up and you're never down, you're wearing a mask. If you're always down and you're never up, you're wearing a mask. In a healthy relationship, we have ups and downs. I fight with my husband today, we make up tonight, we're happy tomorrow, and then the cycle continues. A healthy relationship is going to have moments of disempowerment and empowerment back and forth. A relationship that has chronic disempowerment is more than likely toxic. And if it's toxic and you're not disassociated from them yet, it's probably because they're a blood relative. Blood relatives are the hardest for us to extricate ourselves from for a variety of reasons. Number one, they're our family, for crying out loud. It's your mother or your grandmother or your aunt who put you through school, and you feel like you have this debt to them, this responsibility to them, this need to be there for them, and taking the abuse from them is just part and parcel of the relationship. I like to tell my clients two things. One, expect more to get more. If you want to have a higher quality life, you have to expect a higher quality life. If you want to have a better paying business, you have to expect a better paying business. But how do we do that? Well, the first thing to get clear on is the other thing I like to tell my clients. People will treat you the way you train them to treat you. And you train them in two ways. One, what it is that you've come to accept from them. And two, what it is that they've come to expect from you. You always have a choice. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You may not like the choice, but you always have at least one choice that you can make. So the question that I bring to you as we come into getting ready to set the goals around family, what's important to you? When you go back and look at how you've defined success, how you're going to feel confident and move forward with grace and ease towards your success journey this year? Who's going to be on the radar? Who are those people you want to build relationships with? And who are those people that you need to back off from or create some boundaries around? That's going to help you determine what your family goal is for the year. 1 year, my goal was to develop a healthy relationship with my son. And that was the year I stopped yelling. And that was the year I set boundaries. And that was a long year. But at the end of the year, we had a relationship that was wonderful. We still have a relationship that's wonderful. And had I not put the goals in place, I couldn't have moved forward successfully on all the other things that I wanted to do for myself. Which brings me to the other piece of the puzzle today. With a family goal, you're dealing with other people. You can't set goals for other people because you may want to build a relationship and they may want to have nothing to do with you. You can't make them do something that you want to see happen. So your goals that you're setting today can't be about them. It has to be about you. What are you going to do differently? How are you going to show up differently? What are you going to shift so that you can see the success that you want to have in the next 12 months and beyond?